Hey, Smutters.
Hey.
Hey, how's your week been?
All right.
It's been a week, like a crazy week. We've had a lot going on. Not us personally, but like the world.
Yeah. Everything's been crazy.
The submarine thing and all that. The crazy thing is, though, like, how many days were they supposedly underwater?
Not very many.
But come to find out, they weren't even under there that long, you know?
Yeah.
So why? Why did they do that?
I don't know. People's done it before. I mean, it's just one of these times that it was an accident.
Well, not so much that, just them saying that it took longer than it actually did. Like, did they tell the families that too?
I have no idea.
That is crazy. And even people at work, they're like, I don't even think those people got on the submarine. And I'm like, what does that mean? What do you know? You know? But, yeah, our hearts go out to the families and friends of the people from the submarine. That was just a terrible, terrible thing that happened and very unnecessary. So, there is that. So, tonight we're going to watch the new Evil Dead movie on HBO, right?
Yes.
And we saw the old one, didn't we? It seems like we did.
Yeah, it was a long, long time
ago. Yeah, it was a really long time ago. And now I'm super excited about this one because the girl in it, now I could be totally wrong, but the movie that scares me the most, y'all, Oculus, it looks like the mom from Oculus in the picture that I saw. Like I said, I'm probably just way off, but it does look like her. And I think the mom from Oculus was actually Bo-Katan in Mandarin. Mandalorian, not Mandarin.
She's orange.
That's a fruit. Anyway, yes, it's been a crazy week. It's been a pretty good week, though. We've both gotten some good news and stuff like that. So, anyway, I'm very excited about this story. And after researching it, you guys, I feel like we could go on with this story, but in different branches, if that makes sense. I found a lot of stuff that I wasn't aware of, and I just thought it was very cool. So it kind of depends on Troy's reaction, because I can usually tell by his reaction if it's going to be a good one, and if we need to branch out on this one. Does that make sense?
I wrecked him.
I can tell, like, when you get into stuff. But you're probably not going to tonight.
Why? Because I'm playing my game.
Because you're playing your game. Okay, so, you know what tonight's episode is?
I do not there, Jan.
That is not my name. Please stop calling me that. We are doing the moon landing.
Oh, that was fake.
Was it fake? Well,
you know what CGI was like back then?
So great. The best. Probably about as good as I could do CGI right now. So, because I am terrible at computers and all kinds of stuff. So, I don't know if this is going to be a very long story, but because I'm only focusing on two topics of the moon landing. There's a ton of different conspiracies, and as I said, we can branch out later on. If you guys like this topic, you can always send us a message on Instagram at Supernatural Smut Podcast to let us know if you want to hear more about the moon landing and the astronauts and all that stuff, because guys, I have found a lot on this. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let's dive on in. The year was 1969. On July 20th, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin became the first humans to ever land on the moon. At 10:56 p.m., history was made. Aldrin became the first human to walk on the moon. And that is when he famously said, "That's one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind." That is also, however, the exact same time when conspiracy theories started surfacing about the moon landing. Tonight we're talking about two of the main theories that both are very different. One is, did they even go to the moon? But the other one is, did they see extraterrestrials while they were on the moon? We're going to let you decide which theory, if any, that you believe. So, we're going to start with the alien beings, if that's what they saw when they went to the moon. Now, Apollo 11 with Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins, and Edwin Aldrin was the first Apollo flight to land on the moon on July 20th of 1969. While Collins flew in orbit around the moon in the command module, Armstrong and Aldrin descended in the lunar module, landing in the Sea of Tranquility at 4:17 p.m. I would hate to be that one guy, Michael Collins. You know what? He didn't get to go on the moon. He had to, like, float around. Like, he didn't even get to land on it. They took a totally separate ship.
That would suck.
That would suck. Like, nobody, like, I didn't even know there was a third guy until I started reading this. Poor guy. According to hitherto unconfirmed reports, both Neil Armstrong and Edwin Buzz Aldrin saw UFOs shortly after that historic landing on the moon in Apollo 11 on the 21st of July, 1969. I remember hearing one of the astronauts refer to a light in or on a crater during the television transmission, followed by a request from Mission Control for further information. Nothing more was heard.
Nothing?
Nothing. But there's a reason.
Ooh, what reason?
I'll tell you.
Tell me.
The following astonishing conversation was picked up by ham radio operators that had their own VHF receiving facilities that bypassed NASA's broadcasting outlets.
You sure it's ham radio? Not hand?
Yes. Okay. Why would you say that? It's ham radios. Like the pigs from Angry Birds. Ham. Let's see here. At this time, the live television broadcast was interrupted for 2 minutes due to a supposed overheated camera. But the transmission below was received loud and clear by hundreds of ham radio operators. According to Otto Binder, who was a member of the NASA space team, when the two moonwalkers, Aldrin and Armstrong, were making their rounds some distance from the LEM, Armstrong clutched Aldrin's arm excitedly and exclaimed, "What was it? What the hell was it? That's all I want to know." Mission Control replied, "What's there? Malfunction? Mission Control calling Apollo 11. Apollo 11. These babies were huge, sir. Enormous. Oh, God, you wouldn't believe it. I'm telling you, there are other spacecraft out there, lined up on the far side of the crater edge. They're on the moon watching us." Wilson writes, Binder ends his report with this observation. "There has understandably been no confirmation of this incredible report by NASA or any authorities. We cannot vouch for its authenticity, but if true, one can surmise that Mission Control went into a dither and then into a huddle, after which they sternly ordered the moonwalkers to forget what they saw and carry on casually and calmly as if nothing had happened. After all, an estimated 600 million people around the world were hanging on every word spoken by the first two men to leave footprints on the moon." So basically what happened was they get to the moon and Armstrong starts freaking out. You know, he's saying, "What was that?" And that's what everybody heard. Well, at that point when that happened, they shut the cameras off for 2 minutes and blamed it on the cameras overheating.
What about Buzz Aldrin saying that they never went?
That was debunked. I looked it up. But basically while the cameras were off, the ham radio users were able to continue hearing what they were saying And basically, they were describing everything they saw and all the spaceships that were lined up on the craters. Hundreds of people have claimed this. Let's see. During the transmission of the moon landing of Armstrong and Aldrin, who journeyed to the moon in an American spaceship, 2 minutes of silence occurred in which the image and sound were interrupted. NASA insisted this problem was a result of one of the television cameras which had overheated, thus interfering with the reception. This unexpected problem surprised even the most qualified of viewers, who were unable to explain how in such a costly project, one of the most essential elements could break down. Sometime after the historic moon landing, Christopher Kraft, director of the base in Houston, made some surprising comments when he left NASA. The contents of these comments, which is included in the conversations, has been corroborated by hundreds of amateur radio operators who had connected their stations to the same frequency through which the astronauts transmitted. During the two-minute interruption, which was not as it seemed, NASA, Armstrong, and Aldrin with Cape Kennedy censored both image and sound. I say that there were other spaceships. Now, here is the dialogue. Armstrong and Aldrin. Those are giant things. No, no, no. This is not an optical illusion. No one is going to believe this. Houston. What? 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 What the hell is happening? What's wrong with you? Armstrong and Aldrin. They're here. Under the surface. Houston, what's there? Emission interrupted. Interference. Control calling. Apollo 11. Armstrong and Aldrin. We saw some visitors. They were here for a while, observing the instruments. Houston, repeat your last information. Armstrong and Aldrin. I say that there were other spaceships. They're lined up in the other side of the crater. Houston, repeat, repeat. Armstrong and Aldrin, let us sound this orbiter in 625 to 5, automatic relay connected. My hands are shaking so badly I can't do anything. Film it? God, if these damn cameras have picked up anything, what then? Houston, have you picked up anything? Armstrong and Aldrin, I didn't have any film at hand. 3 shots of the saucers or whatever they were, that were ruining the film. Houston, control here. Are you on your way? What is the uproar with the UFOs? Over. Armstrong and Aldrin, they've landed here. There they are, and they're watching us. Houston, the mirrors, have you set them up? Armstrong and Aldrin, yes, they're in the right place, but whoever made those spaceships surely can come tomorrow and remove them. Over and out. A certain professor who wished to remain anonymous was engaged in a discussion with Neil Armstrong during a NASA symposium. The professor, what really happened out there with Apollo 11? Armstrong, it was incredible. Of course, we had always known there was a possibility. The fact is, we were warned off. There was never any question then of a space station or a moon city. How do you mean warned off? I can't go into details, except to say that their ships were far superior to ours, both in size and technology. Boy, were they big and menacing. No, there is no question of a space station. But NASA had other missions after Apollo 11.
We never went back to the moon, though.
Yeah, we did. Naturally, NASA was committed at that time and couldn't risk panic on Earth. But it really was a quick scoop and back again. According to Dr. Vladimir Azaha, Neil Armstrong relayed the message to Mission Control that 2 large, mysterious objects were watching them after having landed near the moon module. But this message was never heard by the public because NASA censored it. According to a Dr. Alexander Kasintsev, Buzz Aldrin took color movie film of the UFOs from inside the module and continued filming them after he and Armstrong went outside. Armstrong confirmed that the story was true, but refused to go into further detail beyond admitting that the CIA was behind the cover-up. in April of 1979, cosmonaut Viktor, I cannot read his last name, Afanasyev, lifted off from Star City to dock with the Soviet Salyut 6 space station. But while en route, something strange happened. The cosmonaut saw an unidentified object turn toward his craft and begin tailing it through space. It followed us during half of our orbit. We observed it on the light side, and when we entered the shadow side, it disappeared completely. It was an engineering structure made from some type of metal, approximately 40 meters long with inner holes. The object was narrow here and wider here, and inside there were openings. Some places had projections, like small wings. The object stayed very close to us. We photographed it, and our photos showed it to be 23 to 28 meters away. In addition to photographing the UFO, the cosmonaut continually reported back to Mission Control about the craft's size, its shape, and position. When the cosmonaut returned to Earth, he was debriefed and told never to reveal what he knew and had his cameras and film confiscated. Those photos and his voice transmissions from space have never been released. It is only now, with the collapse of the Soviet Union, that the cosmonaut feels that he can safely tell his story. It is still classified as a UFO because we have yet to identify the object. During the late 60s and early 70s, NASA's Apollo mission astronauts all experienced close encounters with unidentified space vehicles. In case you didn't get that, y'all, he said all of the space missions encountered it. I've got so much information on that stuff too. That's why we need to branch out. Let's see. According to the first man on the moon, Neil Armstrong, who took part in the Apollo 11 mission, the reason why the U.S. government changed their plans to build a moon city was because they were told to change those plans by unknown extraterrestrial voyagers. The fact is, we were warned off, Armstrong told a NASA symposium. There was never any question then of a space station or a moon city. According to a former NASA employee, Otto Binder, unnamed radio hams with their own VHF receiving facilities that bypassed NASA's broadcasting outlets picked up the following exchange. Buzz Aldrin, who was also with Armstrong on the Apollo 11 mission, was said to have taken color footage film of an alien craft. Armstrong later confirmed this footage had indeed been shot by Aldrin, only to be confiscated by the CIA on their return to Earth. Fearing for his well-being, Armstrong refused to go into any further details, except to confirm that the CIA were behind an extensive cover-up campaign regarding the U.S. space program and consequent encounters with UFOs. In 1979, former chief of NASA Communications, Maurice Chatelain, confirmed that Armstrong and Aldrin had in fact encountered UFOs on the moon. To this day, Chatelain vehemently protests the truth of their accounts. What do you think about that? What? Really?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that happened?
Nope.
I have pictures.
Do you?
I'll post the pictures online, y'all.
How'd you get the pictures?
I found them.
Those were really good pictures to be taken in the 50s.
Seriously? Okay.
Making my way downtown.
Let's go on to the second conspiracy. The one that says they never went.
Yeah. That's the one I hear a lot.
Okay. And
if they did, why they didn't go back?
Let's see. Now, the stories of a hoax predate the landing itself. As soon as the first capsules were in orbit, some began to dismiss the images as phony and the testimony of the astronauts as bullshit. The motivation seemed obvious.
Bullshit.
John F. Kennedy had promised to send a man to the moon within the decade. And though we might be years behind the Soviets in rocketry, we were years ahead in filmmaking. If we couldn't beat them to the moon, we could at least make it look like we had.
That's why it's considered America's moon now, because we got there first. Nobody likes it, but it's America's bloody moon now.
We own the moon.
Where did that come from?
I have no idea. Where did that come from?
The Office.
You must stop watching The Office.
I will never stop watching The Office. I will be in the nursing home watching it on repeat.
Okay. Most of the theories originated in the cortex of a single man, William Casing, who'd worked as a technical writer for Rocketdyne, a company that made engines. Casing left Rocketdyne in 1963, but remained fixated on the space program and its goal, which was often expressed as an item on a Cold War to-do list. Go to the moon, check, but was in fact profound, powerful, surreal. A man on the moon would mean the dawn of a new era. Casing believed it unattainable beyond the reach of existing technology. He cited his experience at Rocketdyne, but one can say he did not believe it simply because it was not believable. That's the lens he brought to every NASA update. He was not watching for what had happened, but trying to figure out how it had been staged. There were six successful manned missions to the moon, all part of Apollo. A dozen men walked the lunar surface between 1969 and 1972 when Harrison H. Schmitt, he later served as a Republican U.S. Senator from New Mexico, piloted the last lander off the surface. When people dismissed the project as a failure, we never went back because there is nothing for us there. Others point out the fact that 27 years passed between Columbus's first Atlantic crossing and Cortez's conquest of Mexico, or that 127 years passed between the first European visit to the Mississippi River and the second the time had been discovered, forgotten, and discovered again.
Mm-hmm.
From some point in the future, our time with its celebrities, politicians, its happiness and pain might look like little more than an interregnum.
I think all celebrities are reptiles.
Yeah. There's some that just don't hide it very well, though. The moment between the first landing and the colonization of space. Casing put his theories in a book, self-published in 1976. His title is also his conclusion. We never went to the moon. America's $30 billion swindle. He believed he was playing whistleblower, calling attention to a cover-up. The human mind has evolved to see patterns. You see a face in the cloud, hear God in the wind. Some people spot a cabal where others see nothing but bureaucrats. It's not because they are stupid, it's because they are smart. The same skill that would have made them a success in one age makes them a kook in another. That's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Casing catalog. It really is. Casing catalog inconsistencies that prove the landing had been faked. There have been hundreds of movies, books, and articles that question the Apollo missions. Almost all of them have relied on Casing's discoveries. So let's jump into them. The first one, Old Glory. The American flag, the astronauts.
It's America's bloody moon now.
The astronauts planted on the moon, which should have been flaccid.
That's what she said.
That word makes me laugh. The moon
existed. Are you five? Uh-huh, 69.
Flaccid. Okay. The moon existing in a vacuum is taught in photos, even waving, reveling more than NASA intended. Did you not just listen to anything I said? It shouldn't have been waving.
I get mine to do the helicopter.
Oh my God, we're not talking about your penis. We're talking about the American flag.
Oh.
We're talking about how, since it is a vacuum in space, it shouldn't be waving at all. It should just be sitting there.
What if it was because of the engines from the space shuttle?
No. Unless it was from the engines from the UFOs.
Well, you know what? I don't really believe that much.
What?
Is like when you're watching Star Wars and they shoot a ship down and it falls. There's no gravity in space, so it wouldn't fall.
What would it do? Just float?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm beginning to think Star Wars wasn't real. And you know what? I'm also beginning to think that movie with Matt Damon where he goes to Mars. A lot of it looks like it was filmed here on Earth.
You mean they didn't go to wherever he went? Where did he go?
Mars.
I'm beginning to think that Mars Attacks wasn't a real movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that movie so much. Number two.
You're not real, man.
There's only one source of light on the moon, the sun.
Your mom.
Yet the shadows of the astronauts fall every which way, suggesting multiple light sources, just the sort you might find in a movie studio. What do you think about that?
Don't know. I honestly don't know anymore. Okay. You have blown my mind.
I'm not done. Blast circle. If NASA had actually landed a craft on the moon, it would have left an impression and markings where the jets fired during takeoff. Yet, as can be seen in NASA's own photos, there are none. You know what would have left no impression? A movie prop.
Your mom.
Your mom. conspiracy theorists point out what looks like a C written on one of the moon rocks as well, as if it came straight from the special effects department, which I believe that was debunked. They said it was mainly they thought it was probably a shadow.
Oh, yeah. Guess what I forgot?
What?
We should talk about.
What?
I own an acre of the moon.
Oh, my gosh. You do. Let's time out right here.
Is it light side or dark side?
Oh, I don't know. We need to pull out your certificate and look at it. You want to tell them that story? Ahead. Okay. Every year for Christmas, y'all.
She gets me the most danky gifts.
No, I try to find him just at least one little quirky gift, you know, something kind of fun.
Okay.
So why would you say that on here?
What?
So I got him an acre of land on the moon.
But she won't tell me if it's on the light side or dark side.
Well, it says on your certificate. Look it up. Because it has the, what you call it? The things.
Coordinates,
yes. Of your acre. So, when they do build their moon city, we're going to make loads of money.
They're going to pay me for my land.
Yeah, they are, for your acre. So, how about that, government?
Yeah.
Suck it. Okay. So, next, here you are, supposedly in outer space, yet we see no stars in the picture. You know where else you wouldn't see stars?
Your mom's.
A movie set. So, what do you think about that?
I don't know.
Here's the thing, though. The sun is supposedly, well, is the only light source on the moon, right?
Or anywhere.
Okay. It's the only light source on the moon. And I know when you're in a big city and there's lights everywhere at night, it's a lot harder to see the stars in the sky. So, and then when you get somewhere like the country, the stars are everywhere. So, with the sun being the, which I would think that would be a pretty good light source, the sun.
Yeah.
So,
it lights the entire universe.
Would that be why there weren't any stars in the sky, possibly? Was it so bright to them, or I don't know how space works.
I don't know.
I don't either. Well.
Never really been that big in space.
What? I wanted to be an astronaut when I was little. And a scientist.
I always wanted to go to Uranus.
I bet you did. Okay. Giant leap for mankind. If Neil Armstrong was the first man on the moon, Then who is filming him go down the ladder?
Buzz Aldrin.
Buzz Aldrin came down after him.
No.
Yeah.
Remote control video.
Did they have that in 1969?
Well, obviously they had space shuttles.
I feel like the space shuttles were about as good as the submarine, though. You know?
Well, I mean, they didn't die.
I mean, I'm not, like, making fun of the submarine. I just feel like back then that the space shuttles were probably... I mean, some of them did.
Challenger.
Yeah, the Challenger. Was it the Challenger? Okay. So, I don't know. That's something to think about. How good were their space shuttles? Because I know, like, if they asked me today if I wanted to go on a space shuttle from this time or a space shuttle from 1969, I would probably choose the one from 2023. What about you?
Well, yeah, for sure.
Also, have you seen the new astronaut suits?
No.
They're so cool.
Like SpaceX suits?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're amazing. Okay, so Casing's alternate theory was elaborate. He believed the astronauts had been removed from the ship moments before takeoff, flown to Nevada, where a few days later, they broadcast the moonwalk from the desert. People did claim to have seen Armstrong walking through a lobby with a showgirl on each arm. Aldrin was seen playing the slots. They were then flown to Hawaii and put back inside the capsule after the splashdown, but before the cameras arrived. This scenario was turned into Capricorn 1, probably the best acting work of O.J. Simpson's career. In that movie, which did as much as Casing to spread doubt, the capsule burns up on reentry, leaving NASA with no choice. They must kill the astronauts. OJ escapes, runs across the desert, and shows up at his own funeral. This twist was said to echo another aspect of the conspiracy, the most chilling. Some attributed the fire that tore through the rehearsal capsule during the preparations for Apollo 1, killing three astronauts. Gus Grissom, Edward White II, and Roger Chaffee was really part of a cover-up, a way to silence men who were about to go public. So, but regarding seeing Armstrong walking around with showgirls and Aldrin gambling or whatever when they were supposed to be on the moon, I feel like with something that important to the world,
they would be well hidden.
Exactly. They wouldn't just, you know, I would lock those guys up. They would not be going anywhere for the next few days. You know it?
Like an Armageddon.
Huh?
Remember when they got in trouble for going out and partying before they went and destroyed the asteroid?
Yes, yes, yes. So I feel like that's kind of dumb. And I feel like it's just kind of funny. Like, oh, you got Buzz out there gambling and Armstrong with the ladies, you know? It sounds kind of like a Rat Pack move to me. I don't like that. Let's see. At any other time, such theories would have been dismissed as a madman's raving, but America was willing to doubt in the 70s. That's when the dream faded, when everything we'd been told began to sound like a fairy tale. American history itself was questioned and rewritten. Were we in fact the good guys at Plymouth Rock? How was the West really won? It was all recast in the afterglow of the Vietnam War, which was escalated with lies and Watergate when the president operated in the way of Don Vito Corleone. In other words, the space program, which began in one era, the buzz cut age of America exceptionalism, culminated in another. There was a new sensibility. We were all becoming conspiracy theorists, trained to see behind the screen, spot the hoax, suspect everything. That cynicism is the only thing many Americans still have in common. It used to be baseball, and now it's a certainty that we're all being tricked. Of all the fables that have grown up around the moon landing, my favorite is the one about Stanley K. Kubrick. I love Stanley Kubrick.
I don't know who Stanley is.
What? He did The Shining. And he did, what's that war movie? It's got, what's his name in it? The best drill sergeant ever. I can never think of the name of that movie, and I've seen it a million times. Let's see. It demonstrates the use of a good counter-narrative. It seemingly came from nowhere or gave birth to itself simply because it made sense. It started with a simple question. Who, in 1969, would have been capable of staging a believable moon landing? Kubrick's masterpiece, 2001, A Space Odyssey, had been released the year before. He plotted it with the science fiction master, Arthur C. Clarke, who's probably more responsible for the look of our world. Smooth as a screen than any scientist. The man-made satellite, GPS, the smartphone, the space station, he predicted, they built. 2001 picked up an idea Clark had explored in his earlier work, particularly his novel Childhood's End, The Fading of the Human Race. Its transition from the swamp planet to the star-spangled depths of deep space. In 2001, change comes in the form of a monolith, a featureless black shard that an alien intelligence, you can call it God, parked on an antediluvian plain. Its presence remakes a tribe of apes, turning them into world-exploring, tool-building killers who will not stop until they find their creator, the monolith buried on the dark side of the moon. But the plot is not what viewers, many of them stoned, took from 2001. It was the special effects that lingered. All that technology, which was no less than a vision, Ezekiel-like in its clarity of the future. Orwell had seen the future as bleak and authoritarian. Huxley had seen it as a drug-induced dystopia. In the minds, Kubrick and Clark, it shimmered, luminous, mechanical, and cold. Most striking, though, was the scene set on the moon, in which a group of astronauts, post-human in their suits, descend into an excavation where, once again, the human race comes into contact with the monolith. Though shot in a studio, it looks more real than the actual landings. It's the shadow and light, the space and enclosure, the way people move. Also, no CGI, no computer-created effects. Everything is actual. Models, maybe, but actual physical objects. There really was a space station, and it really did turn. There really was a lunar surface covered with rocks. It gave everything a weight you don't feel in newer movies. To conspiracy theorists, it made perfect sense that NASA, realizing it could not actually land a man on the moon, would turn to Kubrick. Why would he do it, though? It could have been an act of patriotism, a citizen heeding the call of nation in need. It could have been for money, enough to cover every production from here to Eyes Wide Shut. Or maybe they had something on him. We all know about how Hoover and the FBI. It would have been an easy gig in any case, cheaper and quicker than making 2001 itself. So, where did Stanley Kubrick watch the moon landing? Was he in front of his TV at home? A viewer like everyone else? Or was he off camera, but on set, 5 feet from Armstrong, imploring the astronaut, remember, you're not in a studio, you're on the ladder of a spaceship about to become the first man to ever set foot on a planet. You're terrified, but also awed. Action.
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 Action, Jackson.
But, as the years went by, Kubrick's pride in his accomplishment turned into second thoughts, then guilt, then shame. What had he done? He felt the need to confess, but who could he tell? If he went public, he'd vanish. As surely as had the numerous people who knew the truth about the Kennedy assassination. He would instead confess with the only medium he really understood, film. It would be a coded confession hidden, but there for those with the right kind of eyes. It would bookmark the work he had done on the Apollo landing. That was fiction disguised as history. This would be history disguised as fiction. What genre would he work in? He already made a war movie, Passive Glory, a comedy, Lolita, a sun and sandals epic, Spartacus, and a political theory, Dr. Strangelove. That left horror, which was perfect for the story he had to tell. The story beneath the story, which was kind of a nightmare. Theorists note the way in which Kubrick changed the source, his source material. The Shining, the story of a haunted hotel and its winter caretaker and his family. One example, in the novel, The Room to be Avoided, the epicenter of bad mojo is Room 217. Kubrick changed it to Room 237. Why would you make a change like that? Maybe because the moon is 237,000 miles from the Earth. That's kind of a stretch, right? Mm-hmm. You're not listening. Most of the work that ties Kubrick and The Shining to the moon landing can be found on the internet. A prime example being the page on author and filmmaker Jay Widener's website called Secrets of The Shining, or how faking the moon landing nearly cost Stanley Kubrick his marriage and his life. Ooh. To my mind, this is a work of literature, and as such demonstrates the best thing about the conspiracy theories. It lets you experience The Shining with a renewed sense of discovery that is all over again. Okay, it starts with the Overlook Hotel. We are told the hotel stands for America. It was once grand, but has been allowed to dilapidate. The role of the caretaker, Jack Torrance, an artist like Kubrick, is to maintain the fiction. While the foundation crumbles, the man who hires the caretaker sits behind a big desk with an American flag at his side and an American eagle behind him. He is the establishment and tells the caretaker an ugly truth. This site is supposed to be located on an Indian burial ground, and I believe they actually had to repel a few Indian attacks as they were building it. In other words, the hotel, like America, stands on the bones of its rightful owners. Later, the hotel is engulfed in a winter storm. That's the Cold War, which drove JFK to make that silly promise about putting a man on the moon. Meanwhile, Jack Torrance is writing, compiling a manuscript that turns out to be evidence of a collapsing mind. That's what taking part in a lie does to the artist and why he must confess. Jack's pages consist of nothing but a single sentence written again and again. All work and no play make Jack a dull boy. To the ordinary viewer, it's evidence of madness. But to a conspiracy theorist, it's a message. All work, A-L-L, or A-I-I, as in Apollo 2. At one point, the caretaker's son Danny, racing his big wheel through the enormous maze of halls, a maze duplicated by the hedge maze outside the hotel, a maze in which the family is lost, in the way the nation is lost in a wilderness of mirrors, comes upon two twin girls, which are not in the book, by the way. Creepy specters, the ghosts of children killed by a previous caretaker. Why twins? Because Apollo 2 came after another fake, the Gemini mission. On the zodiac chart, the symbol for Gemini is a pair of twins. The clincher comes when Danny gets up from his tricycle and walks down the corridor, following a mysterious call, the sort that a government might make to a filmmaker in time of crisis. The caretaker's son is wearing an Apollo 2 sweater. Weird, right? It shows a rocket over the words Apollo 2. When he stands, it seems as if the rocket is blasting off, whereas of course it isn't, because it isn't real. And Danny walks. Thus the rocket flies until he finds himself outside room 237. Danny stands for the child in Kubrick. The artist has traveled to 237, that is, all the way to the moon, only he hasn't. Is any of it real? Of course not. It's a face in the clouds, but it can feel more real than reality, as if you were finally seeing what's always being hidden. That's the thrill of the conspiracy theory. So what do you think?
I don't really know.
Do you think they went to the moon, or do you think that they filmed it?
Honestly, I still think they went. I haven't seen for sure proof that they have not. So I'm still sticking with that they went.
I think they went. Do you think they saw aliens, though? No. You don't think they saw aliens at all?
No. After all these years, they would have said something.
Well, the only one left is Buzz Aldrin. So.
It doesn't matter if they're today or 5 years ago. I mean, I think within the past 50, 60 years.
Later on, there was an Instagram post that popped up. And
I doubt Buzz Aldrin is out there using Instagram to talk about aliens.
It wasn't Buzz Aldrin. The Instagram post popped up regarding Buzz Aldrin's footprints and how his boots did not match. It was debunked. During NASA's Apollo 11 mission, both Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin wore lunar overshoes over their spacesuit boots before stepping out onto the surface of the moon. The sole of Neil Armstrong's lunar overshoes matched the boot prints left on the moon during NASA's mission. The post compares the pictures of the sole of a space boot and the boot prints of the lunar overshoes and misleads people that NASA had faked the landing on the moon. So, if y'all haven't seen it, it looks like, you know, the boot on the moon, it has tread. Now, the shoe that they were showing had no tread whatsoever, and they were like, oh, we busted you. No, that shoe goes under those boots, because they had to have that tread on the moon. So that was debunked, because that was the first thing I thought of when I was like, oh, that'd be a cool picture to post, but it's not, because it wasn't, you know, they cleared that up for us. Let's see. So, which one is it, y'all? Did the astronauts see aliens, or did they even go? That's up to y'all to decide. But I do want y'all to let us know what y'all want us to do, if y'all want us to do the other astronaut missions, because there were more, there was more back and forth between the astronauts in Houston about what they saw in the UFOs. And from what they said, it seems like all the astronauts that went did see some kind of spacecraft that did not belong to us. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But, so you just think we went to the moon and came back?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You just can't believe something that you've always known, can you?
I don't know. With everything going on now, as many UFO sightings as there are, because we get them like crazy now. Like, it's not a surprise anymore, which is so sad. Nobody's surprised by seeing UFOs now. Like, we know they're out there. The government, like, knows that we know. They're even letting us know. They're showing stuff on the news now about UFOs. I mean, it's just not a surprise. So, I feel like back then, when everything was covered from us, which it still is, but before UFOs became such a big, huge deal, I feel like they may have seen something. And I'm pretty sure that the CIA would have definitely covered it up. So, I don't know. I'm going with that one. I love conspiracy theories. They make you think. They will drive you crazy, so don't think too much on them. But yes, I'm going with they saw something. Even if it was in a distance, I know that they probably saw some kind of craft or something. I don't know about them, like, inspecting the equipment or anything like that, but I'm sure.
I'm going to start calling you an envelope.
Why?
Because all you do is send it.
What are you talking about? But that is what I think. So you have our opinions, guys. Let us know what you think. And all of y'all make good choices and stay hydrated. And thank you for joining us.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.